It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan, the Prince George Cougars podcast. Today, the Prince George Cougars broadcaster, Cole Wally. Welcome to CAT Scan.
Hey, thanks for having me. Been a while, I think. I think it's been a couple of years, so nice to jump back on. And boy, it's great. Great to be here. And
you're used to doing the interviews.
I know. Yeah, this is the other side of it, I guess. Hey,
so you'll be a little bit more nervous, I suspect.
Yeah, sure, maybe a little jitters.
With a few things that I'll throw at you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But anyway, like your title, you have so many titles now, I can't keep track of them all. So what is the official title now?
Yeah, it's still Director of Broadcasting, Communications, and Public Relations, but helping out now at the marketing side, Jessica Toth has now got another job, so she still does all of our game day and sings the anthem and does all that great stuff that she does, but not doing the marketing side anymore, so it's been kind of a committee with Taylor and myself, so it's been great, though. It's been Jess did a good job kind of, I guess, setting us up on what needs to get done, and I feel like we've been doing a pretty good job so far with 2 weeks left in the season going into playoffs. So, yeah, it's been a lot, but it's been exciting. It makes the days go by fast for sure, and yeah, it's been great, and there's a lot of it that goes into it, but it's been great.
All right, look, just between you and I now, okay? This is really your job. There's a game, home game, road game. You show up maybe an hour before. You do the broadcast, you have a little bit of cleaning up to do afterwards, and then you're done until the next game. If you're on the road, you're on the road with the guys, you do the broadcast, and then you're done. I mean, we hear you. I mean, that's all there is to it, right? Isn't that it? Come on.
No. That's the funnest part, though, for sure. That's the absolute best part, is calling the game, whether it's at home. Obviously, there's a lot of jobs at home, but on the road also, like, it's... That's the best part of it, but obviously there's a lot more that goes into it from the public relations side, from game note side. There's a grocery list of things that have to get done, especially before a home game. There's a lot that goes into it, but as you mentioned, like calling the game, getting in there, putting the headset on, it's like nothing else matters. It's just you watching, calling the hockey game, and that's obviously, you know, the best part of the job by a country mile. It's yeah, there's nothing like it. You know, so it's been great.
You just came into our studios after being at an elementary school. Now, this is something that the Cougars and you do quite often.
Yeah, we've done a lot. Last year we did a lot. The year before we did a lot. But this year, I think, has been the most we've ever done. I want to say we're around north of 15 school visits throughout the season, which is a lot. Like, there's obviously the kids have such long days and long schedules. So usually we get into an elementary school for 9 a.m. from 9 to 10, and it varies whether we do an assembly or a visit with individual classrooms and talk with kids. We have our Spirit of Healthy Kids program that we run, so we're going to promote that. There's kids that sign up for that, like the schools sign up for it, and they do a great job. They have to fill out a tally of how much exercise they get, how much reading they do. That's just kind of a glimpse of what it is, but so then we'll have the players come and they'll give their experiences on healthy living, exercising, hydration, or we'll just go to a visit. If they're not doing it, we'll just go and chat with the school, and, you know, if they have questions about the players, they always have the greatest questions. The young kids have the best questions.
All right, give an example of a kind of a question that somebody in grade 3 or 4 might have for a Prince George Cougar.
One of them asked if they had a girlfriend. I thought that was pretty funny for a young kid asking. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
And most of the Cougars do.
Yeah, a lot of them do, for sure. So they'll answer it honestly, obviously. And that's a good one. A lot of things are like, what's your favorite color? Sometimes there'll be kids that'll have prepared questions. So sometimes there's some good ones there also. But yeah, the girlfriend one was good. I know Ephraim McNutt last year got that one also. We put that out, and it was quite funny. And there's just kids that are such big fans. I remember there's a kid going to Riley Height. It wasn't even a question. The kid was like, when I am at home and I play hockey, I pretend I'm Riley. And it was awesome. Like, that's why you go. Like, I thought that was just such a cool thing. But again, those are just a couple examples. The kids are so good with the school visits. They do such a great job. And the schools do a really good job putting it together. Like, obviously, we have to plan it and make sure to get there, but the schools are the ones that kind of run the whole thing. And every school we've gone to this year has been terrific. And I'm excited to do more next season. This was actually our last one here today. So excited for more that come next year. So
it wasn't that long ago, really, in my terms, that you were in elementary school.
Yeah.
And in Prince George. What, yeah. Heritage?
No, High Glen.
Oh, High Glen. And then you went to DeBeto.
Yeah.
So when you were in High Glen, what were you looking at? You're talking about these kids thinking that they were Riley Height. You know, were you thinking you could be a hockey player? Did you think you would be an announcer? What were you looking at when you were in elementary school?
Yeah, good question. I was just a fan, I think. I wasn't really sure. I liked the broadcasting and stuff, but I think I was just more of a fan. I remember it wasn't necessarily a school visit, but I was playing, I don't know, Adams hockey, tier two, like nothing too crazy. But I remember Nick Drazenovic and Greg Gardner, they would always come and hang out with our team at different schools and play floor hockey. So every time we do floor hockey, I actually get a lot of kind of, I always like kind of get flashbacks to when I was there and playing hockey and wearing my jersey and meeting those guys. And it's just funny to think now, like Nick Drazenovic's a good friend. Like it's cool to talk to him about that stuff every once in a while. But yeah, it is cool to see it, like how it looks now, like with a little kid that's looking up to the Riley Heights or the Josh Ravensbergens of the world. It's cool to see from a different lens, I guess.
And Greg Gardner now high up with the WHL. He has a Prince George Cougars record that I do not think mathematically can ever be broken.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's 330 games.
Yeah. And the reason that I say that is that he played as a 16, 17, 18, 19, and a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was injured for many of those games. And that was when they played 72 games. So now they only play 68. Right. So if you do the math, somebody comes in at 16, plays until they're 20, it's not going to add up to the amount of games that he played.
Yeah, I don't think so. I even think if Riley Height came back at 20, like I'm not sure if it would still touch that record, because he only played the pod season was.
Like, now he played games. When he was 15, Riley.
Yeah,
so he has
did,
a
yeah.
right.
But I think it was only a 20 game season. So yeah, I have to look at that. But I don't think he would get there. So I think Greg has that one pretty nailed down.
Yeah, and of course you and I and everybody else with the PG Cougars, we see less than a 1% chance of Riley coming back.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
It's always possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, Minnesota Wild, they think he'll be in their system.
Yeah,
you know,
I think so.
when he's 20.
For sure.
So as you take a look at everything, what is involved now day to day on a game day? So, you know, you are busy. You prepare. You got to learn the lineups of. You don't have to learn the lineups of your own team because you know that.
Yeah.
Right. The other team, you have to refresh yourself. You have to find out what is going on. So, on a Friday home game, on a Saturday home game, tell us sort of a routine, and then tell us the routine when you're on the road for a game day.
Yeah, for sure. So let's say we're playing. Say we have no games throughout the week. We play Friday, Saturday against. Let's say we're playing Kamloops and. I do the game programs for the weekend, so I try to get those done as soon as possible because it's a busy job. It's a lot of programs that have to get printed. So our corporate sales people, whether that's Parker or Jess, it was at the time, they'll give me sponsors that will send in ads that we have to put into the program. So I'll talk with them to make sure that those are ready. That's kind of my I guess my first job that I kind of have on my checklist. So I get those printed. We print out, it's a lot of color. It's a lot of paper, probably about 1,200 programs for the weekend. And we'll split them up for both nights. So I would say Wednesday, those are produced and done and ready to go. That's the first thing that I like to get done. And then we get into the game notes side of things. So for all of the media, I'll do our game notes, whether it's stuff that we have together, whether it's, you know, wins and losses, what players are hot right now, upcoming milestones, upcoming games, hockey stories, situational records. I've really taken a lot of pride in the game notes as the years have gone on. So I make sure those are good on Thursday, print those out Thursday night. And then we get to a game day on Friday. The visiting team will send me their game notes, their roster. I print those out. I'll run those out to our broadcast booth, to the scouts room. And obviously the programs that I alluded to, those get handed out also the morning of the game.
How much of that goes to the public and how much is for media, scouts, coaches?
Yeah, so the game notes itself are just for coaches, media, and scouts. I keep those pretty separated. I'll do a separate game preview on our website. That some of the game note stuff I'll translate to the game preview if it's necessary. I'll throw that in there as well. So yeah, there's a lot of, I like to have the game notes. I like to have the preparation, not just for me, obviously, and for us, but for the fans also, so they know what's going on. And we've actually included now for fans, a side-by-side roster. So if they don't get a program, they can get a side-by-side roster that has all the players, where they're drafted, their birth year, age, height and weight, stats, if they're an NHL draft pick, if they're on NHL Central Scouting, that's all on there. And then it gives you a QR code to the program if you want to view it online, because we put it online also. And then I'll put some game notes on the back. So it's just a quick page that people can see. We print that in black and white, and we can print a whole bunch of them. And they get to take a look at them. So that's another element to it. And then at 9:30, we have the live stream. Every home game on every morning, Jess and I will tee up the game. Again, hockey stories, what's going on for the game, different events, whether it's a future game, we'll talk about that. And then after that, I'll go do my interviews. So I'll head downstairs. I always do my interview with Mark in the morning, right before their meeting, when the players do their check-in, get those done. And the players come in, do their meeting. I'll grab a player. We have a 15-minute pregame show. So I feel like the best way to tee up the game and what fans want is to hear a coach and a Cougar player. I think it's a good way to tee it up. So I get those done. And then, like, I've learned over the couple of years, like, I guess, for lack of a better term, time management, like when to get things done, when I can have a little bit of a break. So once I get the interviews done and everything's printed and the booth is set up, I'll head home for about an hour, hour and a half, and then I can get back into the office. Then the coaches will send in their lines, and then I'll put the line combinations together for, again, the media, the scouts, because I know scouts like to see that. I think it's also a requirement for the league. So we include that. And then before you know it, it's like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and it's almost ready to get going for the game. We do our interviews down at the bench. So whether that's Will Peters or Darren Bain that's down there doing interviews, get the microphone set up, get the headset set up, down there. And then, yeah, then I see Hartley Miller walking up the stairs and down the stairs and getting ready for the game. And then
what's it like working with an old crank? Wouldn't you like a younger color commentator on the home game? No, somebody your own age
back there.
You want the veteran?
We have balance here.
You gotta have balance, yeah.
We got, I don't know how many games you have within the WHL. I would say a good amount. And then
11 years of home color, right. However that translates.
Yeah, so that's however many games. And I think it's good balance. Like, I think it's good to have, maybe like a newer voice and then another voice that has been around the organization for so long. I think, I don't know, maybe I'm biased, but I feel like we've developed quite the chemistry over these three seasons. It's been so much fun, and I'm looking forward to many more, that's for sure.
But there has to be some advantages when you're on the road and doing games by yourself. And I believe just about everybody in the WHL does the road games by themselves for the commentator. I think the Giants may now and then get an odd, Bill Wilms may go, but for the most part, everybody does it on the road, but at home they generally have a color person with them. Talk about sort of the differences when you're on the road. You don't have the home distractions and all those other things that you have to do, but there's more to do once the game is on.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly how it is. So again, I mentioned all the game notes and stuff for a home game. I'll do that for the road games also, just the game notes that I prepare and send to the visiting team. And again, same kind of order. They'll print off their game notes. So that's pretty much my main job there. I'll still do the same interviews, player and coach. But then once the game goes on, there's definitely, I don't want to say you want to have more preparation. You want to be prepared for every broadcast, home and away. But definitely on the road, like, I'm very keen on filling time in between whistles. It's never good. So when it's just dead silent and you just don't sound prepared, right? You want to be prepared for that stuff. So I like to think I do a decent job at that, trying to fill time. And whether it's something going on in the game, whether it's a stat that I can bring up that's relevant to what's happening in the game, definitely try to have that nailed down for a road game. So there's definitely, yeah, a lot more time to fill for sure. But yeah, the road games are awesome. It's I don't want to say less prep, but it is less prep because there's no programs or anything that has to get done from my end for the road games. So it's a little bit different.
Do you get any feedback about what you do? And if so, you know, where would that come from? How do you look to get to the next level? How do you assess how the broadcast went and what you can do to enhance it down the road?
Yeah, like in terms of feedback, I've gotten a little bit here and there, like whether it's from Taylor, if he wants me to mention different things like upcoming home games, like to tee up and plug. So from that lens, yeah, he'll provide feedback.
And Taylor Dakers is your boss.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
He's the director of business and goalie coach, but he also has not just you, but other employees under him.
Yeah, for sure. So he does a great job there, but he also, in the same token, like he lets me do my thing, which I really respect and really like that. Yeah, so I mean, for feedback, like I'll critique, I guess, myself. Like I'll listen to games back if there's something that I didn't like how it sounded, or if I just want to listen to try and get better. And I feel like I listen to probably almost every game as much as I can, whether it's a home game or a road game, on what could be better here, what could have I said here, why didn't I say anything here, why didn't I mention this when it was a perfect time to do it. It's definitely happened. There's definitely been a lot of mistakes that I've recognized for myself, but trying to, I guess, navigate my way on a nightly basis, and hopefully we're feeling good, as fresh as we can, as we gear up for playoffs here, 3 weeks away. So, yeah, I guess that's how I kind of look at it from a critique side of things.
Yeah, less than 3 weeks now, Cougars set to start playoffs at home once they finish the regular season with Wenatchee, Victoria. And then we may have to wait to the last day to find out whether it's Portland, Tri-City, or Vancouver, regardless of whether the Cougars are going to be first or second in the BC division, because the race for fifth, sixth, and seventh may not be determined until the last day. Regardless, though, Cougars, whether they're going to be the 2 seed or the 4 seed, are going to start at home. So that's good that for the first round in terms of that. Cole Waldie is a director of broadcasting with the Prince George Cougars. You hear him, obviously, during the games. You're listening to the CatScan podcast. All right. So what about, where did it all start? It started at BC Major Midget at that time, now BC Elite Hockey League. So, okay, you graduate from DP Todd. It's off to BCIT. You're thinking at this point, once you get through high school, you're thinking what in terms of your future, what you would like to do. Once you get through high school, have you done any play-by-play? Have you done any color? Where are you at then?
Yeah, so in grade 11 is when I first got into it. And actually my mom, she sent an email to Alan Bristow, actually, and basically said that I was interested in perhaps jumping into some sort of broadcasting. Whatever it was, I just wanted to get in there and do it. So he had me go to Jeff Sargent, who was with the Caribou Cougars at the time. He did all their communications, and they had me in grade 11. I was doing public address announcing in grade 11
for the
Caribou Cougars.
All right.
And they were at CN Center at the time, because I believe that's when Ken 1 was getting built.
Yep.
So I started doing that for a little bit, just here and there. Like, it wasn't a whole lot, but it was cool. Like, it was cool to just kind of be a little bit of a part of it. And then I remember at the end of my grade 11 year, it was training camp. So I did some stuff at training camp at grade 12. And Jay Onright and Dan O'Toole were in Prince George. I'm not sure what it was for, but I got to meet them. And then that gave me some more, I guess, juice to broadcasting. I liked it a lot. But I also wanted to be a PE teacher. That was kind of my goal, actually. Like, I wanted to do the broadcasting, but PE teaching, I'm not sure. There's a gym teacher at DB Todd that I looked up to a lot, who's actually a big Cougars fan now. His name's John Lawrence. He's a great, great human being. And I wanted to do that. So I left DB Todd, graduated DB Todd. I went to VIU to do phys ed,
Vancouver Island.
Vancouver Island University in Nanaimo. And I played a year of college baseball in Nanaimo as well. And
so you're an athlete.
Yeah. I was
playing, you're not just a broadcaster. Yeah.
We were playing a lot of baseball. That was the sport growing up. And I really wanted to also further baseball and see how it would go. And it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had.
You're a little envious of Jared Young. He's a good friend of yours.
He was. Yeah.
Now in the New York Mets farm system. Yeah. But, you know, he's had a few major league games, all that kind of thing. Gone further than anybody else from Prince George in terms of Major League Baseball. How does that sort of sit with you? You know,
it's so cool.
Isn't it?
I won provincials with him when it was in 2012, so I was great then. I was 15, 16 years old, and I looked up to him a lot. Like, he was always the best player, great leader, like nothing but good things to say about Jared. There was just a good, humble human being, huge fan of just everything. It's been so cool to see where he's at now in the New York Mets farm system, signing a major league contract. His story was so cool. Like, it was it's so cool to see how he's doing, and he's still grinding, like trying to get in the major leagues once again. And
he's 29, so he's just a year older, I think, than you are.
Yeah, year older than me. So terrific guy. So he was a guy that I looked up to. But then when I was doing the phys ed stuff, like, I was not necessarily, I didn't really like it as much as I thought I would. And I missed home, I'll be honest. I was pretty homesick, to be honest, after my first year at VAU. And I did come back home. I took courses at UMBC, just kind of general arts. Not necessarily sure, like, PE teaching was still kind of...
Did you have a little side job at this particular time, or is it all about school?
Well, it was more about school, but then I got back into the Caribou Cougars that year a little bit. I was doing color commentary with Cammie.
That's all volunteer. Oh, yeah, you and Cammie, okay.
Yeah, it was all volunteer, yeah. So I was doing color with Cammie. And then about halfway...
So she did the play-by-play, and you did the color.
Yeah.
So you haven't done any play-by-play yet?
No, haven't done any. And then she left for a job. I'm not necessarily sure where...
She went to the Maritimes.
Maritimes.
She went to the Maritimes. Yeah, she was with us here at Vista in our newsroom.
Right.
And then she got a job, a television job, in the Maritimes.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
Now she's in the WHL head office and doing very well.
It's pretty cool how that comes full circle.
It really is, yes.
It's interesting. So then I started doing play-by-play for, I think, like the last four games of the season. And I was like, this is pretty cool. Like, I feel like this is really fun. I really enjoyed this.
You never turned down the TV at home and did play-by-play or anything like that?
I never did any of that, really.
No.
Like, a lot of broadcasters, I feel like, I've done that. Like, they would, I would do it, like, maybe I would do it a little bit, but not a whole lot. Maybe in my head, but not necessarily watching. Right. I would just kind of maybe think of it in my head, maybe say it when I'm driving, trying to do play-by-play, but I wouldn't do it watching the TV. But I'll never forget it. There was a playoff game. Caribou Cougars were playing the Vancouver Northwest Giants at the time. Team won in overtime. Big goal call. And it came out really good. And I was like, I like this. I want to do this. So then next year, do the whole season play-by-play for the Caribou Cougars. Loved it so much. I was still at UMBC doing general arts courses.
Well, when did you get to BCIT then?
After this season with the Caribou Cougars.
Oh, okay.
So 2017.
And you only went for 1 year then, or two?
2 years.
Two years. Okay.
Yep. So I was struggling at UMBC. The grades were not good. Didn't like what I was doing. And I was sitting there figuring out courses, and me and my family were like, BCIT, it might be time to go to BCIT and give this radio play-by-play broadcast a shot. And it was the best decision I've ever made. Did 2 years at BCIT.
Okay, what course exactly was it that you're there?
Radio Arts and Entertainment Program.
Right. So that was not just news. It was news part of it?
Yeah, news is a big part of it. There was really no play-by-play part of the of the curriculum. It was more so like learning different programs on the computer, whether it's like for audio or video, like movie making. I would be at radio desks like in the morning doing morning shows, afternoon shows, doing scripting. Like, they really set you up really well to kind of have you set up for whatever avenue you wanted to do. But I knew that I wanted to do play-by-play and that this was the right path to go. And it turned out to be the right path. And then the Prince George Spruce Kings were looking for a new broadcaster at the time I was graduating. And it was just a perfect storm. And then there for 3 years.
Did you have competition for the Spruce Kings job? Did they hire you because you were local? How did you sort of get in with them?
Yeah, it was in January of my last year at BCIT. We were playing the outdoor game, actually, in Fort St. James, the Northeast Chiefs, who I was with.
And that was the under-18 Caribou Cougars at the time.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. And then I actually went to Prince George prior, because we brought the team to my parents' house for dinner. We had a big dinner there.
Right.
And then I met with Kyle Anderson in January. Just a chat of what he was looking for. Obviously, I told him that I was very interested. And then that was the year the Spruce Kings, you know, won the whole thing. And they were interested at the end of the season. And pretty much simultaneously with graduating from school, I was hired by the Prince George Bruce King. So it was a perfect storm. And 3 years I'll never forget there. For sure.
Right. And with the Spruce Kings, again, you would have done more than just the play-by-play.
Yeah, for sure. So it was sort of the same, but maybe in a bit of a different scene, I guess. So, like, I would still do, if I'm organizing school visits and different community events, it was more just the community work and the broadcasting. That was the two main things that I would do. I would help out in the front desk, whether it was helping sell tickets. If I had to do group sales here and there, I would do that a little bit. But more so just the broadcasting and communications. First year in junior hockey, so they were really good at kind of letting me get my feet wet and kind of learning the waves of junior hockey.
So then you were preparing for your fourth season with the Prince George Spruce Kings, and things changed once Fraser Rogers left the Prince George Cougars and went to the Penticton Vs.
Yeah, so it was following my third year, obviously, with the Spruce Kings. I was on a golf trip with four of my friends. We were in Kelowna. I remember it was yesterday. I was sitting on the golf cart, getting my clubs ready, got everything all good to go, ready to get golfing, and I see Fraser was calling me, and I thought that was... I've known Fraser for a little bit. I've talked to him here and there. I'm like, I wonder why he's calling. And then I called him back. I missed the call, and then I called him back, asking what was going on, and he said that he was leaving the Prince George Cougars for another job. He didn't say what the job was at the time, but... he asked if I was interested, and I said yes, and the quickest response maybe imaginable, that I was very, very interested. And then one thing led to another. I remember Taylor was transitioning to the director of business at the time. He wanted to get it in the office a little bit. I know he said that on a couple of different podcasts, that he was looking to get in the office of some sort and some sort of fashion. So I started talking with Taylor quite a bit back and forth when I come to the office and chat with him, and then did an interview with myself, obviously, Taylor, Mark, and Fraser, and it went really good.
So those are the three that were on the committee that basically hired you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So we were in there for probably 30 to 40 minutes, and then about an hour later, they...
Any questions they threw at you that, you weren't prepared for, or anything like that, or is it just talk like we're doing now?
Yeah, it was pretty standard. Like, it was pretty, like, are you okay with the road type of thing, and... obviously, there's a lot of road games. We have a really good team coming here. How are you with time management? Like, it was a pretty standard, I would say, job interview. How I am around players, and all those types of things. And I guess they liked what I had to say, I guess. And it was like an hour, maybe hour or two later. Hours later, they say, "Can you come back? We like you, and we would like to get it all done." And yeah, so I actually got hired the same day of the interview.
Wow. So, what are the big differences between a full-time employee with the Prince George Spruce Kings, BCHL, full-time employee, Prince George Cougars, WHL?
Yeah, there's a lot more in the WHL, for sure. There's just a lot more things going on. Obviously, the WHL is such a premier league, so privileged to be a part of it, and there's just a lot more jobs that have to get done. There's a lot more people that you're working with. Like, there were just two people in our office with the Spruce Kings. Now there's, six or seven people in the Cougars' office. So there's more people to communicate with and, I guess for lack of a better term, report to. There's just a lot more, I would say, different little jobs, whether that being, stuff for social media, for website. It's just kind of like a bunch of miscellaneous things, I would say, that has to get done in the WHL, whereas at the BCHL, I would say it wasn't as needed, I guess. There's just a lot more... I guess there's a lot more jobs in all facets in the WHL, and it's been great. Like, it's been so good, and I feel like I've adjusted accordingly, and here we are, and almost done year three, and it's been fantastic.
Right, and we're going to get to the team and the 3 years and all of that in a moment, but at your stage now in broadcasting, still being late 20s, big future ahead, you have to be looking at goals beyond the WHL.
Yeah, for sure. I'm still trying to navigate and figure out, the process for that. You definitely have to know people. That's what I've learned. It seems like a business where you have to know people to move up. And I've gotten the opportunity to know some great people. Obviously, Mark and Jim are well connected in the hockey world. Two great individuals that... have been great to me. So I've talked with them quite a bit just in terms of what's perhaps out there, if they know anybody, who they know. I've done my part of, you know, reaching out to different people as well. So I'm actually not sure, like, if there's, I'm not sure what timeline or what any of that is, but if it does happen, I would like to get to pro hockey at some point in time here, whether that's maybe in the East Coast or the American League. I know necessarily the grass is not always greener on the other side. Like, the WHL is such a good league. There's so many good people in the league. So I wouldn't say I'm in a huge rush to move up, but I would like to, you know, at some point here in the future. 28 now, so obviously, I mean, sooner the better. If something came up, that would be fantastic. But I guess time will tell, but definitely would like to take a step up whenever the time is right, and that would be fantastic.
What aren't you allowed to say in a broadcast? You are an employee of the hockey team. That's not hidden. But the way you call games, the way you talk about games, you have to realize there's a sense of balance in that there's some unwritten things that you really can't say, or there's ways to do it.
Yeah.
Where's that line?
Yeah, I'm like, I always think, like, firstly, I'm not going to, you know, trash the players. Like, there's, if someone does something bad, I'll say, yeah, whoever it was, turn the puck over, bad turnover, team scored. Mm-hmm. I'll say that for sure, but I'm not going to, like, there's players, families watching. They're excited to watch the game. Last thing they want to hear is, you know, their son making a mistake and me, you know, rambling on for it for however long. So I really try to avoid that. I don't like doing that. I don't think that provides a good product to the fans. So I guess in that regard, I don't say anything like
that. But if somebody is minus six, you will point that out.
I would say he's minus, yes, for sure.
Because if you say minus six, everybody knows he's having a rough game.
Exactly. I don't have to continue on. I don't think I'm opinionated about it, I guess, is the right term. But there's facts there, there's stats there. You bet. I'm gonna say them for sure.
Does the team talk to you ahead of time and say, okay, you know, you are part of the team, you are on the broadcast, here's the line, or do they just expect you to know the line?
They expect me to know the line. They haven't really said anything, to be honest, over these 3 years. They've let me kind of do my thing. If there's something that I've said that's wrong, they'll definitely let me know, but I can't recall a time off the top of my head where that's happened. So I guess that's a good thing. But so yeah, I guess in that regard, it's been good. And I guess from the broadcast side also, like, I'm very emotionally invested, like, into the team and into the organization, and I want them to win really, really bad every single night. So I try to, you know, I guess display that for the broadcast.
Do you consider yourself a homer?
Yeah, I would say a little bit. Like, this is the team that I work for, so I feel like you have to be a little bit, right? Like, the fans want to hear the excitement when the Cougars score, and I'll get excited a little bit when the other team scores too. I like to keep it, I don't know, let's say 60-40, I guess, 70-30 a little bit. Yeah. But if there's a goal, like, I'm going to pump it up that there's a goal. Like, if there's a guy from the Wenatchee Wild that scores his first WHL goal in Prince George, I think I'm doing a disservice not pumping it up a little bit. So, I would say those are a little bit of homer for sure. And I think that's a good thing. I think as a radio broadcaster, you want to have more juice for your team than the other team. But at the same time, there's also got to be a balance. For example, I think of game 6 against the Portland Winterhawks. We pumped that goal up pretty good that Josh Davies scored, because that's a big goal that sent them to the Western Hockey League final. So I think there's a time and place, I guess, to pump it up for the other team.
Did your stomach sink when that went in?
Yes.
It did?
Yeah, it did. That was a heartbreaker. That was a tough one. But you get a chance to reflect on it after, and how good that playoff run was for the organization, and, you know, for all those guys to get all this playoff experience, a game away from game 7, which would have been so cool at the CN Center. We've talked about it on numerous occasions. Like, mm-hmm. That's one of the best games, if not the best game, that we've ever seen in that building. It was one to remember for sure, despite the results. That was the best goaltending performance I've ever seen in a junior hockey game by Josh and Jan Schmunar, actually, for Portland. They were both mm-hmm. unbelievable. But Josh in particular, he really stood on his head that one. Watched that game quite a bit, to be honest, over the last...
Or you have gone back over that one?
A little bit to see it and watch it. And when I send out, if I ever send out demo tapes, like, I use that game because I feel like that was...
the best delivered game that maybe us together have ever done. I think there was so much juice in that one. And
I've told you before, I love those low scoring goaltender duels more than a lot. And most fans love 5-4 and get their pizza and all that stuff, right? Yeah, I just love the 1-1 tie into overtime, 2-2. We know the goalies are the first two star, and there's something about that. And that game six, double overtime, 1-1, as you mentioned, with all those great saves and everything like that. And it's just, we think of how great that game was, and it was, and yet it didn't have a Prince George ending.
Yeah.
Just imagine what we would be thinking of it if it would have gone to game seven, it was that tight.
Yeah, it had everything in the game. It had great goaltending. It had stress, emotion, physicality, you name it. Like, it had every facet to a hockey game you could think of. Season on the line, sold out CN Center. I think that's why, obviously, it added to it, too. Overtime, you need to score to extend your season. So there was so much built-up tension, you know, coming up into game six after, you know, two losses in Portland, then winning huge in Portland in game five, and then game six. I don't know. I was just, you run out of words, right? Like, you had to be there. It's one of those kind of moments, I think.
You know, and you admit, okay, yeah, you're a homer, but compared to a lot of other guys in the WHL and BCHL, they almost take it to an extreme.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, some guys will really pump it up for a team, and then they won't pump it up at all for the other team.
No.
You definitely hear that through, you know, various leagues. You even hear that in the NHL too, right? Like, there's radio broadcasters in the NHL that will go nuts for a goal for their team that they work for, and then another team that they won't pump it up. And I do respect it. Like, that's the team that hired you. That's the team that pays you. You should fire it up for them. I think of, like, the Boston Bruins, Jack Michaels. He was like that. And I think he said it publicly. Like, he said, the Boston Bruins are the team that pay me. I'm going to pump up their goals when they score. So I do respect it, but I do like to have a balance personally.
Yeah, and, you know, and I think that fans do appreciate a balance, especially when the home team is really good and they're going to have off games. There is such a thing as objectivity.
Yes.
And that's where you have to, you know, do you find that difficult sometimes, because these are not just players. These are friends of yours.
Yeah.
You travel with them on the bus.
Yeah.
You hear the secrets. You know all the things that you're not supposed to know, you know, of their personal lives, of everything that the coaches are telling them, right? You're privy to a lot of information. Nobody else is, unless you're a player or a coach.
Yeah, for sure.
So how do you sort of balance all that?
Yeah, I just, you know, keep it, a lot of it, all of it to myself, really. Like, there's stuff that doesn't need to come out. Like, you're just talking as a friend to the player, stuff that doesn't need to go out to the public, whether it's, you know, something personal going on in their life. I've been very privileged to, like, be with a lot of really good junior hockey players, and I would say have good relationships, especially with this team. Like, this is one of the most special groups I've ever seen for the Prince George Cougars. Last year obviously was great, but there's something about this team, whatever it may be, it's just a really tight group, and I'm glad to be a small part of it. And protecting the room is the biggest thing, right? Like, this is, Mark always says, like, it's your room, like, it's the player's room, and you got to respect that. And I take a lot of pride in that, for sure. And again, I feel like if I were to tell people things, I'd be doing a disservice to the organization. So it's about the players in the room, and you want them to be as good as they can every single night, and just be a good sounding board. I like to joke sometimes that I'm kind of like the fun uncle a little bit with the players, like to chat with them all the time. And
but you're not that old. I mean, you're not uncle old.
No, I guess. Well, no, I guess not.
I mean, we'll you can be a little bit. Yeah.
Fun young uncle.
Yeah. Cole Waldie is the director of broadcasting. He's got some few other titles now. They're throwing a lot his way. He's with the Prince George Cougars. You're listening to the CAT Scan podcast. So last season, I sort of looked at the Cougars are going to beat Spokane in the first round. Pretty darn sure they're going to get by Kelowna in the second round. And then in my mind, it was going to be 50-50 whether they played Portland or Everett. That was the way I looked at it. So this year, I am looking at, I don't know if they get Portland, Tri-City, or Vancouver. I think Prince George is going to win the first round. Not definite, but I think they will. If they get by the first round, they'll play the second round, and it could be, depending on what happens, it could be an Everett, Spokane, or Victoria. Well, they might be able to win. They might not. That's 50-50 right there, letting alone if you get to the final. So my outlook's a little different this year. Still a lot of confidence. But last year, I almost like assumed they were going to win two rounds. How do you look at it this year? And how do you look at it compared to last year?
Yeah, well, I think last season, firstly, like there was, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but from the outside looking in, it didn't seem like, with the exception of Cohen Ziemer's long-term injury, I feel like the team didn't have a whole, in comparison to this season, have much adversity, like the face throughout the season. They definitely had their adversities, but I feel like it's been on a different level this season, whether it's the flu bugs going through the team. That's happened on multiple occasions to a very young D corps at the start of the year, first in the BC division, like finding ways to win despite a really young roster at the start. Like they went through a lot of different things, injuries. There was trades. There were some good kids that got moved this year. And I don't know. I feel like this team has really just kind of grinded throughout the season. Not saying that last year they didn't, but they just rolled like every single night. It was like they would.
It was almost too good to be true.
Yeah,
last season.
It was. They would score 5+ goals a game every single night. It felt like. Yeah. Whereas this season, it's been a little bit different. But they found ways, and it's been so fun to watch this team in particular. They're getting hot at the most perfect time of the season. Winners in 8 or 7 of their last 8 games going into the weekend, and and you talk about the playoffs. Like boy, that's. I'm excited for whatever the first round is. After what I saw on this road trip and even beyond the road trip, what the team did in Everett on Saturday, this Cougar team can beat any single team in the Western Hockey League, no doubt about it, when they play.
So are you just as confident this year, though, as last year, or is there a little bit of, well, let's see, like where are you at?
Fully confident. I really am. I think this team can do it. When you have Josh Ravensbergen in the net, sophomore season, he's been tremendous, and Cooper Mikluck, who has been rolling as of late. If you get a good goaltender going to the playoffs, boy, you are in a really good spot. Obviously, we saw that last year. We saw that the year before also with Ty Young. I don't know. There's something about this team, and I feel like they could get hot and go on a playoff run, and rightfully so. I was looking at playoff experience. I don't think anyone has more playoff experience than the Prince George Cougars, or the fourth oldest team, I want to say, in the WHL. I was looking at that yesterday, and that's a team. This is a team that grinds. They're a tight knit group, and I don't know. I have a good feeling that this could be another really special playoff run, and whoever they play in the first round, I really can't wait for it. But I'm excited for what's to come for this organization here in the playoffs. It's just, in my opinion, this is the best time coming up here. Like this is what it's all about, and I'm excited to see what this team can do.
And when you have Ravensbergen in goal, you know you've got the advantage there. All the other top teams, they don't have a goaltender that has won 2 rounds of the playoffs, got to game 6 of the third round. I talked to Taylor Dakers on the previous podcast about that, and he says, yeah, but, you know, a Burke Hood of Vancouver, somebody, a Cowan of Spokane, they could get hot just like that. And I understand that. You know, just because Josh, you know, can carry a load and you know he's going to do very, very well, that doesn't guarantee a win, but it's certainly nice to have number 31 in the back pocket, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. If there's any other team, like if anyone said they didn't want Josh Ravensbergen on their team as their goalie going to the playoffs and they said they didn't want him, I would call them a liar. The guy you want. He's the best goalie in the league. I really don't think it's close. Is that a biased opinion? Yeah, for sure it is. But the proof's in the pudding. He's the 5th fastest goaltender to 40 career wins in the WHL. Not drafted in the league. Just signed right in and has just ran with it from the get-go. So anything's possible with him. And then you look at the team, right? Like you have a veteran D-core with Dumansky and Kometz on your top pairing. Those two are just, first of all, tremendous kids and tremendous hockey players that are all in. I feel like for those two in particular, like I keep thinking about this game in Everett because it was one of the coolest games I've seen. They led the charge for me. Like I think everyone kind of, it all rubbed off on the players with how hard they worked, and it really, I think, transcended through the entire team.
And that's one of the reasons why they won the game, I think, was just the buy-in. I think everyone's bought in this season here. Everyone was bought in last year, but this year, I don't know, it feels like everyone is just really dialed into the craft right now. And again, exciting time.
You asked me during a recent broadcast who I thought the most improved Prince George Cougar was. Yeah. And you know, we had a little discussion on that, but I don't know how you could go against Kometz, but then Domanski's a little improved. I know Lajoie, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But Kometz is now at such a high, he was very good at 19. But he is now taking it to a different level because last year there was Thornton and Paul, you know, they had other guys that were older. He has taken, I believe, you know, to a completely different level. The amount of off games he has had, and you've seen them all. I've only seen the home games.
I can't recall one.
Well, I think there's been one. I think there was one that I recall. He might have been a -4, -5. So we can't give anybody perfection.
Yeah.
But he's been as close to it as we've seen.
Yeah, he has. And his offense has been off the charts. So you look at 2022, 2023, 23, 24. He had a combined 16 goals in those two seasons. He has 17 right now. Like, he has been, obviously we know what he can do defensively. He's so good. He's one of the best players I've ever seen that can go get a puck in his own zone and exit the puck with no issue. Doesn't matter who's around him. He makes it look so easy. But boy, just on a consistent basis, he does this. Like, in all three zones, he's added the offensive layer to his game. Like, he's on the top power play. He has goals in 7 of his last 10 games entering the weekend. He's got an NHL contract, and rightfully so. Vegas, boy, they're going to be excited when he gets into pro. Like, he has pro hockey written all over him. I know from what I've seen, he's obviously a big kid that can contribute in every facet possible for this organization, and defensively so sound. Yeah, he's great penalty killer. I think William Kometz and Bauer Domanski are probably the two best penalty killing defensemen in the WHL. Like, just the way they are able to kill penalties, block shots, be in the right place at the right time. Can't say enough good things about those two. But the whole decor has really gotten better, you know, on a nightly basis. And great time to get hot again. And looking forward to it. What's to come here in the next couple of weeks?
And my most improved forward going from last season to this season has got to be Borjavallis.
Yeah.
This guy is, I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs signed him to a 3-year deal. And he was, again, we're talking, he was really good last year. But he's even taken it to another level.
Yeah, I would consider him like I like the term game breaker. Like,
he is.
He gives you a big goal when you need it. I think we saw that on numerous occasions last season. We saw it in Game 6 against Portland. He needed a goal. Number 18 was there to score. But yeah, he's had a tremendous season. And I'm not sure what's in the water here of Cougar 20-year-olds that get traded here, because they've... We put out a post a couple weeks ago about all the 20-year-olds that have been traded here or have just been drafted, built to the Cougars organization, that have signed contracts. I think there's 13 players in the last 3 seasons that have signed NHL contracts. So Mark's done such a good job at bringing such, obviously, great players but great people into Prince George. And I remember Mark has said on numerous interviews, like, he's been so impressed by Boria's buy-in ever since he's come to Prince George. Wasn't here to say, I want to play on the top 6. I'm here to help the team win. And I think that mindset has really helped develop his game over these last 2 seasons. And he's turned into an absolute game breaker. He's had a tremendous season. Toronto Maple Leafs saw that as well. Boria said, had some cool things to say with his conversation with Shane Doan. We did an interview there about that. And I was able to meet him and go through the process with him. So cool for him, and he's a playoff player. I mean, we've seen it. We saw it last year, obviously. I believe he led the team in goal scoring in the playoffs last year, and his last kick of the can, right? Like, for all these 20-year-olds, like, this is their most dominant time now as junior hockey players, so I can't wait to see what they can bring here in the playoffs.
And one of them is a good buddy of yours, Cohen Seamer.
Yeah.
We anticipate Riley Height will not be back as a 20, you know, and these guys... They go together. And then, you know, right now they're putting Parizak on that big line as well. I know he was out recently, should be back soon. But, you know, what about your relationship with these three guys, all on different levels? Because Parizak, we know, is going to come back as a 19. We assume that anyway. Height, we don't anticipate back. Zimmer, it's not possible to come back. And this is a big run for them.
Yeah. Well, I guess first for Cohen and Riley, I mean, I've pretty essentially been apart for their their whole run here in junior hockey, been a small part of seeing them kind of develop over the years. And obviously I developed a great relationship with both guys. They're both, you know, 10 out of 10 human beings. We went to Nashville. I was in Nashville for the draft and got to, you know, spend time with Riley and his family and Cohen and his family. And we did some content with them. And just, you know, I think after that trip, I feel like we really got pretty close over the years, just day-to-day life, just talking about, you know, different things, and just such great kids. In my opinion, this is a biased opinion again, but I would probably consider them the two of the many on the Cougars' Mount Rushmore. Like, I think those are two of the greatest to ever put on a Cougar jersey. When you look at, obviously, their body of work with Riley, the most assists this whole organization's ever seen, Victoria and Prince George, Cohen, the all-time goal scorer. This is kind
and
of the
pizza delivery man for getting those fifth goals that get you the pizza.
Yeah, that's all he does. I was joking with him. I said, got to get him a Domino's like delivery hat and an apron here pretty soon.
Yeah.
But they've just been terrific, and they've left a legacy here, right? Like they've really paved the way for the future of this organization on what it takes to be a Prince George Cougar and winning and the winning standard. They've been at the forefront of it the entire time, and just two special kids. And it's going to be weird that Cohen and probably Riley won't be here next year. And then you mentioned Tarek Parasak. Like him and Riley have developed some amazing chemistry over the last two seasons. And now we all know how good Riley and Cohen's chemistry is. Now to have all three of those guys on a line when they're carrying the puck up ice in the offensive zone, a puck's got a good chance of going in the net every single time. So it's a terrific trio. And then obviously with Tarek getting drafted in Vegas there, first round. It's a special time right now for the Prince George Cougars. And I don't think it's going to go away. Like, I think this is the Cougars, like this winning standard is going to be here for the long haul. And that's a big part to, you know, those three in particular.
Yeah, just to elaborate, if you're not all that familiar with the pizza, whenever the Prince George Cougars get five goals in a home game, after the fifth goal, when the fans leave, they get a pizza voucher for a small pizza at Domino's. And Cohen Zimmer has delivered more pizza goals by far than any other PG kid. It's almost like he knows that they're at four. Whether there's an empty net, whether you need the big goal to make it 5-4, he's always been there. It's just one of those fun facts.
I love about the whole pizza scenario is, first of all, the fans chanting, "We want pizza." And then when the players score that pizza goal, they've started to do celebrations regarding pizza. So, like, they'll go to the flyby to the bench where they go for high fives, and they'll fake open a pizza and pretend to start eating pizza. I know we've seen Cohen do that a couple of times. Ben Reich did it, actually, a couple of weeks ago, too. So the players have kind of rolled with it, too. They like the scoring the pizza goal and making the fans happy, and that's a lot of discs going to fans over the course of the season. There's been a lot of five-goal games, and it's been pretty cool.
I know you're close with all of the guys on the team. We've talked about some of the major players, and anybody else that you're either tight with or maybe doesn't quite get the recognition you think that person probably deserves or maybe in the future is going to get that you see, you know, that you deal with, and, you know, some of the things that, you know, on the inside, and you're sort of thinking to yourself, you know, I see all the games, and I don't know if anybody really appreciates how good this guy is.
Yeah, well, off the ice, and we do so many community visits, and the one guy who was always willing to jump out whenever it is Matteo Denis. He is he is one of the best guys out there. Just as a person, like, he's been so good in that dressing room. He's such a leader in there. He's been terrific. He's done so many good things for this organization, off the ice, on the ice, but off the ice in particular. Like, if I'm ever in a crunch and I need a player, like, right away, Matteo Denis, I can always, you know, rely on him to jump into a school visit.
I know you're so excited that he's played his best WHL hockey in the last couple of months. He's finally getting some offense to get rewarded. He's had some power play time. He's been elevated. You know, things are coming together for him at the right time.
Yeah, they are. And he's a big game player too, right? Game 3, round 2 last year, overtime winner to go up 3-0 against Kelowna in the playoffs there. So, and you look, I just love how he scores his goals. They're all right around the net, jamming it in. He's just, He's a hard worker for sure, and he's a great kid. Another one I have to mention too is Cooper Michaeluk. They actually live together, so those two again for off ice community events that we do. They're both tremendous, and big shout out to those two great kids, and great Prince George Cougars. They represent the organization with nothing but class, as does everyone. But those two, from in my opinion anyway, come to the forefront.
What's it like being on the road with this team when you know everybody is a player or a coach, you're on the road, and your job is different, and it's separate. Now, are there any meetings or things that you are not invited to, or are you basically invited to everything, and you just have to keep quiet?
Yeah, every once in a while. Like, Jim does a great job with this. So, like, obviously, we'll have a team meal in the morning, and sometimes we'll have a team meeting in the banquet room, if they want to talk about penalty kill or whatever it may be. And sometimes Jim will say, I want you to stay here. I want you to listen to this. It may help your broadcast. Like, it's good to know what's going on.
And you find that it does?
I do, because he's so good at explaining things. Like, the way he describes the penalty kill, like, to anyone that could listen to Jim talk, like, you would be like, okay, that makes sense. Go, like, when he's talking about whether it's some sort of different situational penalty kill, when to, like, supply pressure, when got to be here at this time, here at this time. Like, I don't know. Just the way he describes it is so, like, I guess black and white. Like, it makes perfect sense when he's describing it. So every once in a while, but I don't really like to. I'll get out of there. Like, it's the players. It's about them. But every once in a while, Jim will say, yeah, stay here. Like, that's I want you to listen to this. Tell me if you learn anything. So that's been pretty cool. But for the most part, out of the meetings and stuff, I stay out of it. Not my, I guess, stay in my lane type of thing, right? I'll get out of there and do my own work. But but the road has been great. Like, it's been so much fun. There's been a lot of long ones this year, and it's been fun to obviously get to know everybody throughout the season, and definitely a big fan of it for sure.
Other than CN Center, let's throw that aside. Mm-hmm. Best places to do hockey games and places that you're not too fond of.
Favorite comes top of my head is Angel the Winds Arena in Everett.
Why is that?
Lots of different things. So the broadcast location is awesome. It's like pretty much right at center ice. You're a little bit slanted to the right, but you have a great view at it. The fans are incredible. We saw that on Saturday. It was Navy night. It was sold out, 8,300 people. They're so ruckus that they go nuts at anything. They got good pregame media food there downstairs. Mm-hmm. We always judge that. Dylan and I will always go down there and we'll judge it. Dane Englehart too. And Dave. We'll test it out every once in a while. So there's a bunch of it that goes into it. But I would say in terms of broadcast location, fan energy, arena size, everything has been so good. Langley Event Center in Vancouver, in my opinion, is the best broadcast location in the league. You're literally right at center. It's not too high. It's not too low. You have a lot of room in there to put your notes up, and I don't know, I just feel very comfortable in that building for sure as well. And again, it's just a great facility. It's very professionally done there. So those are the two that come to my head. And then for ones that I don't necessarily like would be Seattle. The fans are great in Seattle. They're fantastic. With a broadcast, you're really tucked into the corner. So when play is going down on the far side, you can't really see what's going on. Like, there's a lot of guessing going on, trying to see players. Maybe I need glasses to see to see down the ice, but that's a little bit tough every once in a while. But I don't know. I guess off the top of my head, those are probably my favorites, and I guess least favorites that come to the top of my head.
You like to say this was a fun one. What makes a fun or a good broadcast? Like, when the game is done, what do you think? Hey, that really went well, or that did not go well. What do you think, as you are the broadcaster, to make it so that the listener feels they got the full experience?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's a lot that goes, I think, into a, in quote, fun one. I think a close game, like a close battle between two teams.
So if it's 6-1, it's hard to make a great broadcast?
Yeah, unless the Cougars played really good. That could be a fun one if the Cougars lay a Schneidering on whoever they play. That's considered, I think, a fun one. I think it's a very, there's a lot of different, I guess, categories that would resemble a fun one. If there's a very physical game, that had a lot of fights and after whistles and a Cougars win that's close. That's a fun one. Good goaltending matchup, as we talk about. Like, those are probably our favorite games, 1-1, 2-1 finals. Those would probably classify as fun ones. I don't know. I think when the Cougars win, obviously, it's usually pretty fun. I don't know. It's a really good question. Like, usually, you just know, like, whatever the situation is after a game, like, we'll talk after, and we'll be like, yeah, like, that was a fun one. So,
What goes into a good broadcast then? What goes into it to making that broadcast so that, regardless, if somebody was tuning in and listening, they didn't really care who won. They want to hear a good broadcast. How do you get that for? How do you perceive that to be?
Yeah, I just want to bring like the juice and enthusiasm to a fan. I want a fan to be not wanting to leave their vehicle when they're listening to a game. I want them to be dialed in as much as they can be. And if that's for me to bring lots of energy and excitement and maybe a little bit of stress when the puck's sitting around the crease and I'm yelling like, where is it? Where is it? Like, I want them to be like, you know, really into it. And I think I take a lot of pride in that. I want to bring enthusiasm and juice to fans when they're watching or listening online, because I feel like it creates a better experience for the fan listening rather than it being just monotone and telling you what's going on. I want there to be some energy and enthusiasm. And, you know, we have a crowd mic. I like to pump up the crowd mic because I think that helps, I guess, paint the picture for a fan, whether you're at home or on the road. So I would say it, obviously being informative is a huge part, but energy and enthusiasm. When I was at BCIT, I did an interview with Gord Miller, who's my favorite hockey broadcaster of all time. And he told me in an interview, like, energy and enthusiasm will get you a long way. So I've really taken that and try to give that as much as I can to the people listening, wherever they may be, if it's on TV or on the radio.
So you just, everything sort of comes naturally to you.
Yeah, I kind of go with the flow. Like, I don't really have, like, planned things to say, I guess. Obviously, I'll have, like, stats and notes that'll be ready to be said when needed. But yeah, I'm very, very go with the flow, I guess. And I feel like that's translated to some pretty good broadcasts that we've done. And I think that's the way to do it. I feel like it's organic and it's natural. And I feel like that's the way it should be done.
Was the Wheatcroft overtime goal in game 6 in your first season that allowed the Cougars to win a playoff series for the first time in 16 years, that's still your favorite?
Yeah. I'm not sure if any will touch that one. Unless the Cougars, I mean, go to the final and win the whole thing. But that just felt like the most, like, thank goodness goal. Like, we won a playoff round. We've silenced the demons. And there was a packed house. It just felt like that goal, we took a huge step. Like, the Cougars took a huge step. And that was so special. Yeah, I'll cherish that one for a long time. That was, I say I don't have anything planned, but I had a goal call planned if we won an overtime to win a playoff round. I had that one sitting in the bank, I guess, a little bit. There was a broadcaster, I don't know, it was basketball. It was the Portland Trailblazers, and it was Damian Lillard. He hit a game winner to win the round. Mm-hmm. And he said, the Trailblazers win the series for the first time in 15 years. So I kind of said the same type of thing with Chase Wheatcroft when he scored. Something along those lines, but yeah, that one will stick forever. That was one of the coolest goals I've ever seen. He was struggling in the series a little bit in terms of offensive numbers in that series. And then I remember we made our OT picks, and we were both thinking number 29, Chase Wheatcroft.
You got the pick first, and you nailed that one.
I think
we were sort of thinking along the same lines that he was sort of due if Prince George was to get that one, and. You know, that, yeah, it's going to be hard to top that one. Something can, because it was overtime, right? Like, even if the Cougars get to the WHL final, they might do it in a 5-1 victory or something like that, where the moment will be great, but that particular instant of that overtime winner that advances you to somewhere you hadn't been in 16 years, that's going to be hard to top. Now, you could get into a run where, you know, the Cougars go to a WHL final for the first time. That would be hard to top, you know. Yeah. So there are still some things out there, but there are a lot of special moments there.
Yeah, there are. And there have been some special moments even after that Chase Wheatcroft goal. Like, there's some goals that I'll remember for a long time from the playoff run last year, like Boria's tying goal against Portland in game 6. That was such a weight left off the shoulders too, because the Cougars didn't score yet, and how Portland scored their first goal, like it crossed the line by a hair, and then to finally get one, that was obviously a good one. There's been a lot of good ones. There's been some really cool regular season ones too. I remember we were playing Spokane last year. Cougars were down by two with a minute left, tie the game, win it in overtime. Riley Height won it in overtime there, I believe, and that was a special one. But yeah, there's too many to count. Mateo Deniz OT winner in Kelowna was good. Game five in Kelowna was good. Like there's, man, so many. I lose count of them, but definitely some that'll stick out. But again, number Chase Wheatcross will be number one
for yeah. Me. And you still keep in touch with him quite a bit?
A little bit. I haven't much this year. You know who I've talked to actually on every once in a while has been Jackson Weeb. He scored a big overtime goal too, actually, in that playoff series. And he always talks about how much he loved it in PG. And he was such a good leader when he came in here. They put an A on him really quick ever since he rolled in. And he's a great kid too.
So we've gone over an hour. And again, most of the time you are doing the questions and you don't have to worry about the answers. So how do you compare it now? Now that we've gone through this for an hour and you're on the other side, you know, is it as enjoyable? Is it, you know, how do you find that compared to when you're asking the questions all the time?
Yeah, well, I think when I'm asking questions, I always try to not say different words, because I feel like sometimes, like I've caught myself a lot of times, maybe I've said it answering questions, but I say the terms like and obviously a lot in my interviews, and I try to minimize that. I know my dad, he listens to a lot of my stuff, and he'll tell me too if I'm saying words too many times. So I won't be surprised if I listen back to this and hear a lot of and ahs. But I think it's cool to answer the questions also, though. It's more, I guess, opinionated, whereas when you're doing interviews or broadcasting, you kind of know what you're talking about, and it's cool to kind of just, you know, answer these questions right off the cuff and just have a chat. So I guess that's how I would compare it.
So anything that we haven't mentioned that you would like to, as a representative of the Prince George Cougars getting geared up for the playoff run, anything you would like to pass on, any final thoughts from your end or something that we haven't covered?
Yeah, well, I guess just firstly, like, it's been such a pleasure to be a part of this organization, and I've, you know, I think I've learned a lot from, you know, the coaches and how they always say, like, it's a privilege to work in the WHL, and ever since I've heard that, like, I've never taken that lightly, and I've really, I guess, treasured that comment, I guess. So it's been an absolute pleasure to work for this organization. It's been very cool to be a part of a winning organization here for these 3 years that I've been here. It's been everything in this organization. It's just so professional and so well done. In my opinion, this is a premier place to play junior hockey in Prince George. The fans are unbelievable. I would take them against any, you know, fan base in the WHL, like just the juice they bring. I think we're going to see it this weekend against Wenatchee. We're going to see it next weekend against Victoria. And then the weekend after, we're going to see it in the playoffs. And it's pretty cool. Like, you know, when you look at the organization right now and where they're at in the standings, that the final weekend could determine the BC division. So it's got some more, I guess, playoff hockey kind of feels going into it. But just want to, like, thank also all the fans that listen to the games. You know, we've gotten a lot of, I guess, positive feedback that they like listening. So hopefully we can continue to deliver a good product and hopefully keep delivering good news for the long haul. And again, special organization, love being here. Wouldn't want it any other way. And boy, hope they do something really special here come April and May. And I'm excited that you and I get to, you know, get ready for the biggest and most exciting time of the season, which is playoffs, and ready for the whiteout to come back into PG.
Any guilty? Do you feel any guilty vibes that you've come in and, like, there were so many lean years with this Prince George Cougars team. Yeah. You come in the best possible time. The Johnny come lately comes just when the Cougars are doing their best. Yeah. Any guilty? Are you guilty? Any guilty feeling about that?
Well, I've talked with Fraser a little bit, and he's like, as if you get the years that the team's winning all the time.
Yeah.
But it's been pretty cool. Whether the team was honestly winning or losing, whatever the situation, I'm just very happy to be here. And but the fact that they are winning, does it make it a lot better?
Of course it
does. Heck yeah, it does. For sure it does. So special place. And can't wait for many more years ahead.
You know, and as we enter the Wenatchee series, Prince George had suffered only 4 regulation losses at home, tied with Calgary. And I know the record isn't as good as last year overall, and we looked at the stats, and, you know, last year was first place easy and all that kind of stuff, but you take a look at what – when we say home ice advantage –
it's real. This,
it is real, and the numbers back it up. It's not just hype and PR. Oh, yeah, of course that always comes into it. But it really is when you see how many teams walk out of Prince George with a W.
Yeah, not many. And, I mean, there's been very minimal splits at the CN Centre when visiting teams come in here, and the team has done a great job of establishing the CN Centre as the probably if not the toughest place to play on the road in the WHL. The fans are obviously a massive part of it. They bring so much juice on a nightly basis, whether there's 35 or 5,500 fans in the stands. I know the players absolutely love it. And I think I think it's the most intimidating place. I think Prince George, Everett, Seattle, like, they're right up there for best crowds. I would really put Prince George up with anybody. And the best place, and I can't wait for the playoffs, and I cannot wait for the fans to bring the juice and, you know, wear their whites at the CN Center for the whiteout, and it's the coolest thing ever. So I think for the broadcast too, like, we feed off of it too, right? Like, the energy the crowd, it makes it so much better. So I can't wait.
I think this has been a fun one.
This has been a fun one. This has been good. It's been good. It's good to get in here and do this interview. It's been a I listened to all the CAT scans with them playing on our broadcast. So
the players listen to them. Do you think?
I believe they yeah, do. Yeah, I do. I think they. I think most of them do. Anyways, I think they'll tune in. So
all right.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming in, and we're gonna have pretty darn good time come playoffs this year.
Looking forward to it, Harvey.
You bet. Cole Waldie is the director of broadcasting, community relations. Now on the marketing side, he is with the Prince George Cougars. And you have been listening to the PG Cougars CAT Scan Podcast.